But we ask the question, what do we do if we can no longer bounce back? And what does God ask of us? The city, our jobs, our families ask us to be resilient, but does God? And we looked at Jesus' teachings when he said, if you're worn out, come to me. I want to give you some rest. And all these heavy responsibilities and teachings you follow, I want to give you an easy yoke. I want to make this burden light on you. And we talked about this being a space where some of that weight shouldn't be. This being a space where you don't need to be resilient. Your job might call for it, and you've got to do that. Your family might demand that of you, and I get that. I've had those seasons. But at least here, at least with Jesus, we don't have to be resilient. We can be whatever we are. And if you are resilient, that's great. But if you're just tired, you can be tired. And for the next couple weeks, we're going to use that understanding of his teachings to look at some other teachings and just see, okay, how do we view this one as easy and light instead of burdensome? Because there's some times where that seems to come in tension, right? Next week in particular, we're going to do something a little different that I want to give you a heads up, because sometimes we make you nervous when we do stuff a little different. But we are going to have some songs of worship, and then we're going to have this, it's actually a small little prose that I love by this author, Padre Gotoma, about how we come to prayer. And then we're going to split up in some groups, and I know this is a little risky, but you'll be all right. We're going to split up in some groups and practice listening to each other. So if you don't feel comfortable talking, you don't have to. You get to actively listen. And we're going to just talk about how it is that we come into that day, what we're feeling, and then we're going to talk about what God might be doing in us. And at the end, we'll have a time where all the groups will share and just like, hey, we're sensing maybe God's doing this. This is what we're excited about. And just a chance for everyone to be a part of that instead of just Pastor Rob, Pastor Kat, and I. You might have noticed Rob wasn't here last week. He's not here today. He's got some communion, or he was last week. He wasn't doing communion and stuff because the week hit him hard with his job, right? This week he's got some community obligations, so he had to go do that this morning. So that's why he's absent. He's on Zoom, though. Hi, Rob. So, with this idea that Jesus' teaching, that his burden is light and his teachings are easy, wants to give us rest when we're weary and burdened, we want to take this a little bit further and look at what might our role as one church be for this city. Okay? I'm not saying what is the role of capital C church, like what is the role of Christians for the city. That's too complex, too big. I'm not that smart. There's too many needs. But what might we be able to do? As us, as who we currently are, with our strengths and our challenges and all these kind of things, without asking for too much of us, without, like, what could we be? Who could we be? Who might we be uniquely equipped to be, knowing that we're not the answer, knowing that we are not called to save the city, but also knowing that we have something to offer? Okay? So this is as we meet our city. We're going to start in Deuteronomy 5, because all good sermons start in Deuteronomy 5. And we read this, observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. As the Lord your God commanded you, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter or your male or female slave or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the resident alien in your town, so that your male and female slave may rest, as well as you remember that you were made a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Now, if you remember, this is one of the commandments that are given to God's people as they leave Egypt and they're going through the desert, right? But if you read this carefully, if you can go back one slide, if you read it, it kind of reads like they have land, right? But they're wandering. So It's actually written down in Deuteronomy form later for people who are in the promised land, reflecting back and all that. It's maybe where we will go, or it's reflecting on past language, but here's kind of what it's saying. It's trying to understand life without the daily need to make more and more bricks that they will never use. Their family heritage was to make bricks that were not for themselves, to be defined by this work that never really benefited them. I spent some time this week with one of my dear friends, Justin, who's a pastor in West Virginia, talking about coal mining and what happens in his community. And there's that kind of feel of just our families live in the mines. We eat pepperoni rolls because grandpa went into the mine and one time he didn't come out. Or one time he got diseases in his lungs because of what he went and did. And we didn't really use coal. It wasn't because we were then like going home and using it. It's just that demanded us. And I think a lot of us have some heritages where our life was kind of defined by what we did in not so healthy of ways. As they get away from this work that defined their existence, God introduces them to something that He is giving them to remember who they are. To remember the truth of who they are. You are not just what you do and what you produce. You are the children that God delivered. Children that God promised to. And so let me ask you a question. This is a real question, not a preacher question. This is an interactive one. When you think of the word Sabbath or rest, what is it that you think of? Anybody? Camping. I love that. Gardening. Inconvenience. I love it.
Just sitting outside.
I'm repeating so these people hear. Being, yes. These are great answers. So let's do a show of hands. How many, when I say the word Sabbath, feel like that's a good thing? Okay, how many, when I say Sabbath, are like, oh dear goodness, don't make me think of that? There we go. It's complex. It's complex, right? We have a weird relationship with it. And we're not the first ones to have this weird relationship. In this text, we see that it's supposed to be rest for the person, but for the entire household. Rest for the animals and the land and the servants and for people who lack citizenship in that land. Everybody is supposed to rest. Kind of the best way that we in the U.S. know how to do this is we like go on vacation and then we just pay other people to do everything for us, right? Like, you cook and I'll tip nice. You take care of my house, you clean my house, all of that kind of stuff. That is vacation, but that's not really what we're seeing here. This is a communal experience where everybody is to rest and not just nap, though napping is part of it. It's to be a part of wholeness. It's where we remember who we are. Moments where we can feel more guilty and we can feel more shame, because that's kind of what we're used to. So Paul has this verse in Colossians where he talks about that, because we're not the first like generation who feels guilty. We know that, right? Like, that's not a new thing that we judge each other. Like, humans have been pretty good at judging each other since like Genesis 3. Like, right around there, we were like, it's your fault, you know, and we've been falling apart since then. So look at what it says in Colossians 2 here. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. Though these are a shadow of the things that were to come, the reality, however, is found in Christ. So they were judging each other for tons of things, like what you eat or drink. We do that today. Religious festivals, we do that today. We don't really do new moon stuff so much, but then Sabbath, we can be really good at being judgy. And the point is that we understand Jesus. And again, this burden is to be easy. It's to be light. The teachings are to be easy. In Paul's day, people were feeling bad. They were being judged. There were some people who were good at some things, and some people were bad at some things, and they all got to define it themselves, and we're not that different. But our invitation is Jesus. So what does that look like? What does it look like for us to live busy lives where we're asked to be resilient constantly in 1,000 different places, and when we have a day off, we have to run 17 errands because that's kind of the day that we take care of our house or things like that? How is it that we can live into this light and easy Sabbath, and how can we be something for this city at the same time? That's the question, right? There's this book that I love. It's uniquely called Sabbath by Wayne Mueller. He says this quote, it's pretty transformative to me. He says, at our best, we become Sabbath for one another. We are the emptiness, the day of rest. We become space that our loved ones, the lost and sorrowful, may find rest in us. Where we're not fixing, we're not harming, we're not acting. We're quietly empty. We become Sabbath. Where the sorrows of the world are safely poured and gently dissolve into the unfathomable immensity of rest and silence. I believe this is what Sabbath looks like in our day. I believe that Mike likes to bring up the phrase that comes up a lot now of us being non-anxious people, non-anxious presence with each other. That when we go meet people, everyone's kind of anxious, so we just get more anxious. And then the real gift is when someone is not anxious and they're just relaxed. And you have an encounter with them and then you're like, oh my goodness, I think I feel relaxed. I think that was enjoyable. I think I was seen. I think I was heard. And then we become Sabbath for one another, where it's just past the love and it's just a 30-second interaction or a 5-minute conversation or a text chain that we do back and forth, or we meet up for coffee or whatever, our small group. Whatever it is, but when we interact with each other, we give the gift that you find in Sabbath. We find that in one another. You find that you are seen and you are heard. That you can come and say, I'm tired. And the other person doesn't say, show me your agenda from last week, I'll correct it. I'll show you why you're tired and why you shouldn't be. Nobody's going to give you a cure. Well, if you just do this, this, and this, then you'll be better. But you can just say, I'm tired. And they can say, tell me more. Where someone can come in and say, I'm feeling this and I'm feeling that, and actually be heard and seen and like finish their sentences. Sometimes, you know, if someone's really good at listening, you start somewhere and by the time you're done telling what you're telling, you're in a different place because just somebody listened to you. Somebody cared about you. You leave feeling lighter because someone's helping share the load. Someone's carrying that for you. What I believe we are equipped to do right now for our city, that we could go do today, that we could be for anybody who walks in, we are equipped to be Sabbath for people. We have people here who are amazing listeners, who can hold the tension of a difficult story, who can care and find the nuance of goodness in between grief and sorrow and all that kind of stuff. We have people who are really good at saying, hey, can I give you a hug? Really good at saying, hey, can I buy you a cup of coffee? Can I carry that with you? And the moments of remembering then that we are not what we do or what has been done to us, but remembering who we are and remembering accurately how God has been in our life, that happens when you interact with someone. That happens when someone is Sabbath for you. And for me, I still need to take a day. Right now I take Mondays, and I do my best to go and rest with God and do things that I love and all of that, so that the rest of the week I can be Sabbath for anybody that I meet. This is my goal. I'm preaching like my life goal right now. They call it pastor or spiritual director or whatever. But like Martin and Wayne and Pastor Kat will know, I pretty much spent the last week saying, hey, come to Louisville and you can sit on my deck. And we can have Sabbath together. We can be Sabbath for one another. We're not going to fix everything that the city faces, but God didn't ask us to. God doesn't need us to. In fact, the city doesn't need us to fix it. We don't need to be the cure. What people need is a safe place to say, hey, I'm scared to go to Kroger right now. Or say, I'm really mad. I'm tired of funerals. We need safe places to say what it is that we feel and know that we are not too much or we're not too wrong, or it doesn't mean that we're not faithful. It doesn't mean we don't believe. All of that, a place where we can come with our story and say, Jesus says that it has an easy yoke and the burden of following him is light. Show me where I can do that. And find the people who are like, oh yeah, you can set all that in this pew right here. And I'll help you process it. For a minute, imagine those that you love in the city. Like, let a couple people come to your mind. Think about what they've been going through these past few years. And how resilient they are. I don't think we tell each other that enough. We blame each other for what we've been through, but we rarely say, hey, you woke up again. That's really hard sometimes. You went back to work after a tough day. Think of how resilient these people are. And as they go, many of their faiths are being shaken, and they're unsure of what they believe. Probably can't sleep real well. They don't feel right, and they don't know where to turn to be honest about all this. But then imagine inviting them to a community where they can actually let their guard down. And they can let it down day one if they want, but they can sit and observe for 6 months, a year, 2 years, whatever courage requires. But they know that there's an invitation, that they can question their faith and not have quick answers given in response. They can cry or laugh, get angry or remain quiet. They can come as many times as they need to and just rest and be. And if they want to talk, there are people ready to listen and invite them in. I know that we can be this. I know that we know how. I know that that's already happening, but really I don't know that we know that that's an asset. I don't know that we know the gift that that is. And I think that's because it doesn't feel like much. But ask a few people where it is that they were last listened to. Who the last person was who actually heard them, or the last time that they felt free to unwind for a moment and let their guard down. Because one of the most active ways that we can be serving our community is by doing this. Is by saying to the people that we love, that we run into, that we maybe don't love yet, how are you? And then standing there long enough to hear the answer. We're going to practice this next week, like I said, with each other. I know that in some of our minds that's like, great, I don't have to come to church next week. No, please do. Please do. If you don't want to share, you don't have to. We're not going to make anybody. This is easy and light. It's not burdensome. It's not guilt. It's none of those things, right? But all of us can listen. And there are enough people here today who would love to share. Some different people who have some experience or background in spiritual direction are going to take different groups. We're going to use different parts of the room. We're going to have this for our kids as well. For those of you on Zoom, we're not forgetting you. We're having a person who's going to meet you guys and do this type of group for you as well. And we're just going to have a chance to talk. To listen. To share where we're at. And then you heard part of what I dream of for us, but we're going to have time in that room to where you guys get to dream. This isn't my church. This is us. So what do you imagine God doing? What do you want God to do? What's God have on your heart? We're going to write it down. We're going to report out. We're going to share that together and start celebrating what God's doing in our midst. That make some sense? I hope it's not just like Pastor Kat and I next week.
Have a great time.
Yeah, we've talked enough.
We listen to each other enough.
Thanks, Mike. Mike will be here. I know that this doesn't feel like much. I know that sometimes Christians want to like take a hill. We want to go cure stuff, fix stuff. I believe this was enough for Jesus for a while. Where he's like, no, go be these people. Go be people who make this not as complicated as others have made it. Who allow it to be simple, who care at a heart level. And I think if we do this, I think we'd experience some cool things. But we kind of got to go first, right? And not for 24 hours, but even like, I don't know, for a time of communion and a song. Like even right now, we can say like, okay, God, could maybe this be a moment of Sabbath where you remind me of who I am? Where I remember who you are? Where I can let go of some things? Where I can breathe deep. If you don't have a communion cup, I want to invite you to raise your hand. We've got some church heroes ready to pass them out. Everybody's good? Everybody's equipped? All right, good job. I'd applaud you if my hands weren't full. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he's sitting among some of the people who were really good at making it complicated, who were really good at making a movement and dreaming up what it could be, and Jesus invited them to remember, right? And they didn't know what it meant yet, and I feel like each month that passes, I know what it means a little bit differently, and there's space for that. But he said, every time that you gather, I want you to remember me. And he took the bread and he broke it. He said, remember that this is my body broken for you. So when you gather to eat, remember that this was done for you. And he took the cup. And after he gave thanks, he looked at his friends and said, I want you to remember this is my blood that's poured out for you. So this light and easy teachings, burden, that you might know that you might remember, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus, I truly believe you. That you want to give us this life that's full. And not like full schedule, like we tend to live, but full of goodness and sorrow and joy and laughter and grief. And that you want to give us a capacity to feel all that. That you want to give us rest. But what you intend with your teachings is not to overburden us and give us guilt and shame, but to actually make life make sense and help us to remember you and us. And so in this moment when we sing or when we listen or when we just sit back, would you give us a moment of Sabbath, of rest, of experiencing your goodness? And would you give us the courage to believe that we could represent that Sabbath for one another, that we could be a place where people experience some wholeness and healing, some life and some remembering? Thanks. In your name, amen.